Okay. So like I explained just now, huh? You have to understand clearly who you are, what you are. The first thing you have to refer to is this physical body. And there's a mind inside there. So this compounded entity of a physical body and a mind, is it really what you think you are? That is the first inquiry that you have to understand. And through meditation, you can understand. Because the living being's problem is they believe this is what they are. So they get themselves entangled. The physical body, I think you can understand, is made up of what? Elements. No knowing. So cannot be you. Then the mental part, which is consciousness or energy, that one also don't die. But the question is it really you? Then you have to ask yourself, what can this mind do? So the Buddha subdivided this mind into four aggregates or aspects of mind. As a human being, with the mind, what can you do? What can your mind do? Your senses, which enable you to become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactilely feel and think. Then, apart from that, what else? You can perceive. Means, whatever you come to perceive, you can get to know it. So, like external form, even my voice, you get to perceive it. So, that aggregate of perception is a very important aspect of mind's ability. Then, what else? Your mind can feel it. Can your mind feel hot or cold? Sensation. Some call it sensation, but it's more than sensation. It's ability to feel like hot or cold. That is the physical part. But when you have certain mind state inside you, like you have joy, you have happiness, you have sadness, sorrow, like these are mind state, mental states. So mind state are your various sankhara, the Buddha called it. Means everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception. So when you feel unhappy, when there is anger, when there is sorrow, lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, all these are the various manifestations of mind's mental state. Then your mind can think, understand? It can also worry, become restless and all these things. So this is the other aspect of mind that the Buddha calls sankhara, means mental activity or mental states or mental formation. The mind can form picture or images. That's why you can dream. Then you can like fantasize and all those things. So basically these are the four aggregate of mind: feeling, perception, creating mental thinking activity, and mental, even volition. Volition is mental intention. Then your planning, your scheming, your mind states. These are all classified as sankhara. So sankhara, the word is whatever that your mind can do is sankhara, inclusive of feeling and perception. So this is what mind is all about. So the Buddha called this the content of consciousness. Your consciousness alone is very pure. Without the content, like the Buddha said, in your seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. There is nothing inside there yet. But the moment you associate with what you see, then you input the content. Then like and dislike, the feeling, that condition, your craving, your desire. So all those things will happen inside the mind. So meditation is about having the awareness or mindfulness to see all this happening. then to understand why they are not you. Then in the book, I explain very clearly. First aspect, as a physical body, the first aggregate, is obvious, it's not you because it's element. Follow nature's law, go the way of nature. That's why this one will get sick, get old, and one day die. Because it goes the way of nature, it's element, no, no, it cannot be you. So very clear. Then feeling, the things that arise at every moment of sense experience, that feeling that arise, is it real, is it you? The good feeling, the unpleasant feeling, the fearful feeling, are they real? Is it you? The easiest way to understand it is when a pleasant feeling arises, then later on it becomes unpleasant. What happened? The feeling changed from pleasant to unpleasant. If feeling is you, when that pleasant feeling change, you should die, isn't it? Correct? But you didn't die. So feeling cannot be you. Then how did it arise? That's why in the meditation, you silence your mind. And you will know how the feeling arises. Where it involves your mental perception, conditioned by your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. Your belief system, your culture, your education, all this condition you to like have certain views and opinion of things. So when you start to see all this, then you will come to know how your mind functions, how it conditions you to feel, to think, to become angry, emotional, and all those things. So this is what the teaching is all about. You must silence your mind with the awareness to see all this. Then you realize all this feeling that arise through your wrong view when you react and stir it condition into mental states. Like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, or happy feeling, pleasant feeling. So all this, they arise and they pass away. They cannot be you. Well, if it arises and pass away, you should die with it if that feeling is you. So we can conclude feeling is not us. Similarly, perception is the same. The moment I perceive, it's gone. The next moment, I perceive something else. So perception also come and go. I didn't die. So perception can never be me. Mental state also arise and pass away. I never die. So it can never be me. Consciousness also arise and pass away. I didn't die, so it cannot be me. Then the question is, if they are not me, how come it arise in this form of mind? Then who am I? What am I? That when you meditate and you awaken to it, you will develop a lot of wisdom. That's why the Buddha said you have to meditate and realize the universal characteristics, the three universal characteristics of impermanent. And because they are impermanent, following nature's law, that's why they are dependent, originating, condition arising. Without supporting condition, it can never arise. So dependent on certain things arise. So depending on your views and opinion, wrong view will condition wrong thought. Unhappy thought, fearful thought. So right view will condition right thought. Beautiful thought, wholesome thought. So all this you start to see. Then you realize, hey, this is not me. If it's not me, then who am I? What am I? How come I got this physical body and this consciousness? What is this entity that the human race call me, I, means the human being? What is this entity? If it's not me, through your meditation you realize, then what is it? How come it's with me? Since the time you are born, it was already there. So the understanding is, you have to find out through the meditation, how did it come? So according to the Buddha, there's a nature's law that governs its arising and its passing away. He called it karma, the law of karma. That's why he said our form and mind, the human being. This one is born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And this is what we are. We are just the way we are because of our karma too. So form and mind is subject to karma. So you will have this understanding that this is karmically conditional for you to come to this world. The physical body and the mind and the consciousness. So this is, according to the Buddha, is a vehicle for you to come and use to live life, to understand life, to do whatever you want. Because it's just a vehicle and a tool that help you to have the ability to do all this so that you can experience the world. So that you can truly live life and do what you want to do in this world. But you are so deluded, you don't have the Buddha Dhamma, you don't meditate, you don't understand, you don't know how to use. You go and attach and cling, thinking that this is you. Then you worry about this physical body getting old, getting sick, and one day die. Then you worry about this form and mind, having to go through life, confronting all the problems of life. They call it suffering. It's like when you have health problem, when you have career problem, relationship problem, financial problem. Everything that is related to life, like family problem, then when you don't understand, it afflicts you and make you fearful, miserable, unhappy. When things go your way, you feel good. But when things don't go your way, you feel horrible, terrible. Then when you confront life, you realize there are so much problems in life, so much challenges in life. You got your duty, your responsibility, you got all your conflict, your whatever argument, misunderstanding with the world. And sometimes you yourself cannot come to terms with your own thinking. And most people have problems with their own parents, brothers, sister, colleagues, friends, and all those things. So life is about understanding all this so that we know who we are, what we are, and we know how to make use of this form and mind to live life, to understand what is going on. So that we are not deceived by it, we are not deluded by it. So this is the core teaching, understanding who you are, what you are. Then apart from this form and mind, is there anything that is eternal, that has eternal life, that never dies? That is the one you have to realize through the meditation. There is a nature within, which is beyond all this form and mind. Which when you meditate, when you become very quiet, very still, very silent, you can touch it, you can realize it. That is your true nature, your true mind. But that one, very difficult to understand unless you can really cease and silent your mind. So basically, that is the essence of what the Buddha tried to share with living beings in this world. Okay, 8:10, we can start our puja. So that was the short explanation of who you are, what you are. So that when you read the book, it's easier for you to understand. Okay, we get you all to light the candle. Pumasari, you all can start. Brother, your father want to light? Never mind. If he don't want, no need. No need. Let him rest. So we all, your two children and you all light the candle. Then after that, we can get ready for puja. The rest of us can stand. Where's the lighter, Thomas Ray? Ah, okay. Come. Oh, 2个罢了. Oh, okay. Oh, 这边, 哥? 这边还有一个. Oh, 四个, 刚好. Okay, so, start with the tree. Huh? Yeah, we can start with the tree and make offering to the triple gem. Take the whole tray up, then offer it to the Buddha. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 这边，这边。 Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, jintai. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. Then relax body and mind. Get ready for puja. Compose your mind. Develop the sadha, spiritual faculty of faith or sadha, and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then with the virya, we will pay respect mindfully and start the official puja chanting. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo for, no, no, Mila for. Namo Mila for. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1. We will commence the Pali chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami mamonudang. Ganna sambarayutena dipena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana motamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kesuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kesumena mena punena tena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigantha tumutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya Patikan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, to help arise the needed clarity, the standing, to dispel all darkness or ignorance. Right. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body. Strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making our overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Huh? Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Then we can have our meditation. Huh? You can have half an hour meditation. Yeah. Okay, we are off the light. Huh? And since everybody has been here before, huh? Just relax body and mind and develop your meditation. For those who are still new, if you need to train your mind, then you have to. You can use the skillful means, mind sweeping method combined with metta, then followed by anapanasati to stabilize your mind. Okay, I will let you commence your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after half an hour. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. You have to make use of this trained mind state to develop the daily mindfulness meditation. Then finally, to develop heedfulness, to be ever mindful in the midst of life, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay. Now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso agawa arahang sama sambuddho Vija carana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Sakkasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Sakkasango Nyaya patipano bhagavato sawakasango Samichi patipano bhagavato sawakasango Yatidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkhineyo anjali karaniyo Anuttarang punyaketang Tokasati sa du sa du sa du. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang pujeme damang pujeme sanghang pujeme. Okay, you can be seated, then just relax body and mind, maintain some more attention, or attentiveness. Then we will start the second session. Second session is meditation reporting, and question and answer or Q&A. You can ask whatever you want to understand. It can be regarding the meditation or the teaching, the Buddha's teaching, and how to apply what you have learned here so that you can use it, the application of the Dhamma. Okay, the mic is here. You just put up your hand, then we will pass this to you. Christine. Anybody? Report your meditation or ask any relevant question. Whatever you want to understand, you can ask. As usual, very quiet. So if you don't have any reporting, what you want me to speak on? Christina, yeah.
Yeah, good evening, Brother
Yeah,
Teo.
Yeah.
Actually, I think from the WhatsApp, yes. The day I did ask about, am aware.
I thought Miss Lee explained, but you can't understand what she's trying to tell you, So you are interested in understanding that.
Yeah. If I can see my anger aware of the anger.
Okay, the difference between the two things. So you look at the whiteboard. We go through it again. What is the difference between I can see my anger and awareness of anger? When somebody say, I can see my anger, a lot of people get it wrong. And they call this citta nupassana, mindfulness of citta or content of consciousness. They say, I can see my anger. I can see my emotion. And they say they are doing mindfulness of mental states or mind states. Citta nupassana. What is your understanding? When somebody mentioned this, what is your understanding? What is the difference between this and awareness? When you are aware of your anger. Awareness. Sorry. Awareness is aware. Oh. Anger or whatever. I have to put in with a comma. This one got no word. When you label it, then it becomes a concept or an idea. But when you are aware of that thing, there is no word. You're just aware. Yeah. What is the difference between these two? The first difference is what? This first word is what? Who is the I? This is the egoic mind, understand or not? This one is sakkaya ditthi, egoic mind. and this is a thought. So when the Buddha talked about mindfulness, he is not talking about the thought. He is talking about an awareness, aware of mind states, content of consciousness. So when somebody say, I can see my anger, it's the thought, the egoic mind, is trying to tell you that I can see my anger. Means the anger arisen already. That guy has got angry already. Then the thought that perceive it say, I can see my anger. And this is very different. This one got nothing to do with citta nupassana. This one is thought-based labeling. You understand? You understand? Because this I is the ego, egoic mind, the thought. The thought recall through memory that anger has arisen. Understand? That's why I can see my anger. But when you are doing meditation, when you really cultivate citta nupassana, you're supposed to silence your mind. Just silent, aware. Means throughout the day, you are just aware, silent. Then when you see something or hear something or recall something, let's say your mind stir, then the anger come to be. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? When you are mindful and aware, what happened? You'll be aware of this arising of anger, isn't it? The awareness and that emotion that arise is one, understand or not? That's why the mind is with the emotion. There is no word. Just aware. There is no one to see anger. It's just aware. That's why this is the present moment awareness. This one is present moment awareness. Means the awareness which is in the present moment is aware of the arising emotion. So present moment awareness is aware of the emotion or arising emotion. This is where they go wrong. That's why thought-based meditation, you can never develop the understanding. Because they use the thought. Everything is actively arising to the thought process. They don't have mindfulness at all. To be mindful, you have to be aware. Aware means what? What is the definition of sati? Sati is what? You cannot remember, then how to cultivate. What is sati? Mindfulness or awareness is what? Very good. You see, when you are silent without thought, without chattering, without verbalization, the mind completely silent. So awareness is the silent mind that is aware. Means awareness before the knowing, before the perception. You must remember this, otherwise you cannot do it. When the aggregate of mind arise, you are lost in thought. Understand? You are no longer with the moment. You can never be aware anymore. That's why I used to share with you all. You can only do one thing at a time. Mankind can only do one thing at a time. Means what? At any one moment, you can either be silent and aware, fully aware of what is going on, or you are heedless, means lost in thought. Yes, very good. So like you are heedless, lost in thought, thinking. What are you doing? you are preoccupied with that thought process, isn't it? True or not? Then if that thought conditions you to become emotional, you are caught in the emotion, whether pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, or anger or fear or worry. Then you are like lost in it. Then when somebody wants to talk to you, they know you are thinking. Then sometimes they call you, you also don't know. Then all of a sudden, you call me? Yeah, you are. Something bothering you, understand? This is heedless, lost in thought. You are not aware. When you are aware, you are very alert, attentive. You are not preoccupied with anything. But sometimes when you go through life, to live life, you have to reflect. You have to contemplate. You have to develop your own silence, your own space, your own creative mind states, so that this can give rise to understanding. That's why the creative mind is the silent mind, the quiet mind that is creative. Means there is no conditioning, nothing. And you remember that Krishnamurti quote that we did last Tuesday, freeing the mind. How do you free the mind? Free the mind of what? Free the mind of what? Views and opinion and conditioning. Because this is the mind that is pure. The silent mind is without thought, without views, without opinion, without condition. And this is the mind that will not stir, will not react. It can see things as they are. But if you are full of views, opinion, and conditioning, born of what? Self-delusion is one of them. Some more? Apart from self-delusion is what? Your conditioning, understand or not? Your belief system. You call yourself a Buddhist, a Christian, a Muslim, or a Hindu. All this is your conditioning. Your clinging, your attachment to something, your views and opinion of things. So you have to see that such a mind is not free. Such a mind will act according to memory. And what is memory? Accumulation of what? Memory is what? Everything you accumulate is your memory, isn't it? Which is your attachment, your clinging, your grasping. And what are the things that you accumulate in your mind? Past memory is correct, but what do you accumulate? What are these past memories? It can be your happy moments, your unhappy moments, scars of memory, and all those things there. Your phobia, everything that you experience in life. So whatever experiences that you go through, good or bad, you accumulate them all. And this is not the way to live life, understand? Memory is not for you to hold on to all your fear, your psychological fear, your psychological worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow and lamentation. Then when you have a lot of memory, that is how your thought process come about. And Krishnamurti make it very clear. You can find out yourself through meditation. What is thought? How does thought arise? Like a baby when he is newly born. The baby got no thought, isn't it? Why? Because they don't know anything. There is no memory. Understand? Nobody taught them this or that. Even papa, mama also they don't know. Then they're sitting as they are, without conditioning, without what. But that type of mind is useless, understand? Because you don't know anything. But as you grow up with all this life experiences, views, opinion, and everything that you have in your brain. Yet, you can still see things as they are with the silent mind. That is the real meditative mind. You understand? So, when you act, you have to act according to wisdom, your understanding, not according to your views and your opinion and accumulated conditioning. Because these are your accumulated fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, sorrow, lamentation, your own selfishness, your own self-delusion, your greed, your hatred, your emotional negativity, your doubt. So when you act according to this, means what? You act according to your own delusion, self-delusion, your own mental conditioning, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your envy, and your jealousy. And all these are evil root. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. You cannot act with this. And if you have wisdom, if you understand that the phenomenal world is impermanent, when you attach and cling, it leads to suffering. When you realize that the form and mind is not you, your self-delusion gone, then you will not accumulate all these things. You only allow the memory to remember whatever that is important, like your name, your address, where you stay, your loved one, your signature, bank account signature, how you sign. And how to understand science and math, technical thing. And how to develop understanding. How to develop wholesomeness, goodness, no more negativity. That is the purpose of brain, memory. Means without delusion, without the evil root. But not to accumulate all your scars of memory, psychological fear, worry, and anxiety. When you accumulate this, your thought that arise will be full of all this negativity, scars of memory. That's why wrong thought will arise. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your self-delusion. So this is how living beings fall, develop all the negativity of karma through their wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong thought process. But they don't have this understanding. When you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or arise the thought, you're supposed to be aware, means silent. That at the moment of sense experience, you're supposed to have a free mind to deal with it. You're supposed to have the understanding and the wisdom so that you act according to your understanding. You no longer act according to memory. So this is pure action, true action. So Krishnamurti make it very clear. To free the mind is very important. You must have a free mind to meditate. If your mind is conditioned, forget about meditation. You can follow. Huh? Anybody still got that shit, freeing the mind? Huh? You all got to take back or not? I didn't bring. Maybe it's a good sharing. I will read to you that I think Padma Suri and Brother Tim should have. Come. Oh, you tie like how? Got ready, Brother Tim. No need. This was what was discussed at last Tuesday's sharing. And the whole day we only covered this Krishnamurti quote, freeing the mind. So now you listen attentively. Krishnamurti say you work hard for your daily living. You spend years at the whole business of being boss around. Those who work for people, they know. In order to earn a salary or livelihood, then you have to swallow all the insult, the discomfort, the indignity and syncophony. What is this word, syncophony? Yeah, still don't know, definitely. Somebody can just Google. I think it's something negative. But to work so that the mind is free is much more arduous. See? Despite all the insult that you have to bear when you go through the working career, the bosses that boss you around, then all the insult that you have to swallow, then sometimes you got no choice, understand or not? Your bosses can just tell you off, give you deadline, ultimatum, then put fear in you and harass you to deliver, give you a deadline. So, according to Jay Krishnamurti, he said this is nothing compared to how you have to free your mind. To free your mind, he said, it's a lot more arduous, more difficult, a lot more difficult. It requires what? It requires great insight. What is insight? I-N-S-I-G-H-T, not I-N-S-I-D-E. Great insight means great wisdom, great understanding. That's why you call insight knowledge. It means I develop the insight into truth, the reality of life and existence. Then it also requires great comprehension, means clear understanding, ability to comprehend and understand. The next one is most important, an extensive awareness. Means you have to be ever mindful, a very stable awareness, in which the mind knows all its impediments, its blockage, its movement of self-deception, its own craving, desire, its own fantasy, illusion, its myth. That's why you have to have moment-to-moment awareness to see all this. How the mundane mind, with its self-delusion and ignorance, do all this to you. The movements of self-deception, craving, desire, fear, phobia, all this, you will see them. Then all your myths, you know what is myth, you think it's real, but it's not real, mythology, and illusion. Then all the fantasy that you dream of, because these are not reality, this is all created by thought, we call it idea. Understand? Idea is not reality, not the truth. You always say, if I have not done that, this will not happen to me. If I had not let that guy or my children go out with this guy, this accident wouldn't happen. All this is the thought telling you, if it's not a reality, idea. If I have not married my spouse, I would have been very, very successful. Oh, all those nonsense. Then I don't have to toy through life. When you patol that time, you never say that. After that, because you don't know how to handle your life, you don't know how to go about building up a family and providing for them so that they can have the financial security to go through life, so that they can have the good condition for good life. Because you don't have the karma, you don't have the understanding. That's why you fail miserably. Then you use the idea to justify if. That's why all this, you have to see them. If it's not the reality, no point. You're wasting your time. So you have to understand life clearly. The reality is, whatever that arises is just the way it is. Happened already. I cannot change. Like the passing away of a loved one. The reality is the loved one is gone. Dead and gone. You lament also no use. You go and complain also no use. If I had known that, I would have seen my father more often. I would have offered all of my love and whatever. I would have taken him overseas and all those things. Now that he is gone. All this is self-torturing, understand? Through the thought, creating more and more attachment, emotion, suffering. The reality is, he's already gone. When there's condition for you to do, you never do, understand? Then, why do you want to lament? You have to accept the reality, then move on. And that is life. Life is supposed for you to live through understanding. You are not supposed to worry about life. Do you understand? No amount of sorrow, lamentation, and worry can solve your problem, can bring back the dead. It can only aggravate your problem. So what you need is awareness of all this movement. Then develop the understanding through a free mind that is not conditioned by ideas. Your own thought condition you, do you know that? Your own wrong thought. Your own belief system. Your own religious label. Your own phobia, fear, worry, anxiety, accumulated memory. All this condition you. That's how you become what you are. So the dependent origination of Paticca-samuppada, the 12 links that the Buddha talked about, you have to meditate to understand them. Then you understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Then why the Buddha said dependent on ignorance, the first 2 links. Ignorance is the first link. Arises what? Yeah? Avijja, paccaya, sankara is what? Yeah? Mental activity. Or thinking. So dependent on ignorance or self-delusion, not understanding, what do you do? Wanting to know, wanting to experience. The only instrument you have is your thought process. That's why you go to school, your teacher tell you the same thing. Don't understand. Go back and do what? Think about it. That's why you think a lot. Those who think a lot become heedless. But some people, they tell you the opposite. He said, great mind think alike. Eh? So they thought, all the great mind must think one. No? You believe or not? Those who have this high intelligence or talented people, I tell you, they don't really think like heedless people. They need a tranquil setting, some condition where they can be creative and have inspiration to reflect, contemplate, and come out with very talented understanding or good music and all those things. That's why it's not heedless thinking. It's when they are very calm, very confident, very composed, very creative. Then all this understanding will come. Then they will know how to develop all this special talent. Can be a musician, or a determined career person. If I want to understand something, I will just relax and silent. Then I throw up the inquiry. Then I try to develop the understanding from there. Well, when I was in school, through my study, I understood all this. When I'm sleepy, I just sleep. But that mind that is sleepy cannot. There is no way. Where it is a hindrance. That time I don't even know, but I just know I have to sleep. Even 5, 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Later on, maybe half an hour, you are too tired, or 1-2 hours. Then after that, you are fresh. Then you can concentrate, you can study. Then I remember at times when there is a very difficult mathematical question, or engineering question, or problem, or tutorial, or what. Sometimes you try your very best to develop the solution and the understanding. But there is no way, because you know, I can feel it. That thinking has become like so active inside there. I am not really going anywhere. Then I realize, forget about it. All this thinking won't solve my problem. So what I do is, I go and sleep. And most of the time, amazingly, you know what happens? When I go and sleep, means I rest my mind. I don't want to know. But the funny thing is, there is still movement while you rest. Then I solve that problem in the dream state. Then immediately it will wake up or no. Then it will take a pen and write it down. Because when you are actively lost in thought and thinking, you are clouded by the thought process. There is no creativity. The mind is not free. You need a free mind to have clarity, creativity, to develop understanding. So in life, if you don't have the silent mind, the free mind, it's very difficult to develop the meditation, the wisdom. So this part is very clear. Krishnamurti said very clearly, once the mind is free, then it can begin to investigate, to search out. But for a mind to seek when it is not free has got no meaning. Now you understand. If you are so conditioned, talk to you also no use there. Because you don't have an open mind. You will argue, understand or not? You will say it's wrong. What are you trying to say? They want to challenge you. And they are more interested in what? Right and wrong. They are not interested in learning, understanding. Then like Krishnamurti say, for a mind to seek when it is not free has got no meaning. He asks you, do you understand? These are very easy to understand. Right? If it's not free, means you are conditioned. You got views and opinion. Then how can you seek wisdom? How can you seek the truth? No meaning. That's why the mind which would find God or truth, this extraordinary beauty and depth of life, the fullness of love, must first be free. That's why free mind is very important. You remember thought-based meditation? Those who do energy field? Because it's a conditioned state. It's not a free mind. That's why that type of mind in jhana or fantastic meditative state, no meaning. All the mental hindrances are still suppressed. You cannot develop wisdom. That's why it needs a free mind that is aware, silent, not a conditioned mind. Now you understand, huh? Now I read again. The mind which would find truth, God, this extraordinary beauty and depth of life, the fullness of love, must first be free. It has no meaning for a mind that is shaped, conditioned, held within the boundaries of traditions to say, I am seeking God, I am seeking truth. Such a mind is like a donkey tethered to a post. It cannot wander beyond the length of its rope. So now you can see the analogy. It's just like you are tied to your views and opinions. You cannot free out of it. So that is the reason why J. Krishnamurti said, to seek truth, to realize the truth, first, the mind must be free. You must have a free mind. Free means not free for you to do anything, understand? Not free for all, understand? Free of all the views, opinion, and conditioning. So that you are no longer rigid. So that this free mind can echo and flow, fully aware to understand what is going on. Then there is no views and opinion or conditioning to stir your mind, to overrule whatever truth that you supposed to find out and realize and awaken to. But because of the views, opinion and conditioning, it prevents you from opening up. It prevents you from investigating, understanding. You see the point or not? Yeah? When you are so conditioned, your views and opinion, what do? You don't want to listen anymore. It's just like somebody who say, I know. The psychiatrist always says the most dangerous person in this world is the person who says, I know. There is nothing to know. All of your knowing is knowledge. That's why thought is respond to memory. When you have a lot of memory, it will create a lot of thought and make you heedless. That's why dependent origination, the 12 link when the Buddha teach, he said the first 2 link is most important. The first 2 link is dependent on ignorant, it will condition mental activity, thinking. That's how it makes you heedless. You think a lot, lost in thought, heedless. That's how the mental hindrance arise, the 5 mental hindrance. That's why it's a nutrient for avijja. You understand? Yeah? You can follow. If you are not heedless, the 5 hindrance won't arise. Because you are heedless due to what? Due to your ignorance, your self-delusion. That's why it's a nutrient for ignorance. So because of ignorance, it will condition you to be heedless. Then, it will condition your 5 mental hindrance. And the reason why your mental hindrance is there because you don't have Dhamma friends who can advise you to cultivate the Dhamma, to develop the opposite 5 spiritual faculty, to constantly cultivate the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. That's why phase 1 of Dhamma is pariyati. What is pariyati? The learning of his teaching, the Buddha's teaching. So, you develop the phase 1 to learn this teaching. And you learn it through what? Through listening to the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha or any of the Dhamma friends who have the Dhamma. So when you listen, you straighten your view, understand? You straighten your wrong view. Then when you straighten your view, you have less ignorance, less self-delusion. Then what happened? The first link become? The first link of the dependent origin become? Weakened. When this is weakened, then avijja paccaya sankhara become less and less. Understand? That's how your heedless thinking slow down. And finally, you don't need to think. That's why the silent mind will be there. When you have straightened your view, you will not do all those foolish things anymore. You will not go and lament, complain, and say all those ideas, if, anasana, which is not a reality. You got nothing else to do, and make yourself miserable. But that is not going to solve your problem. That is trying to allow the idea to give you security, anasana. The idea will tell you a lot. You're so stupid. If you have not do all this would not have happened. Who don't know how to say that? But it's not a reality. The word if, the IF is very big in front. But the reality is, you were foolish. You were heedless. You did all those things. That's why it happened. If you never take care of your health, then later on you get into big problem. Then the idea will tell you, why my wife didn't tell me? Why my doctor never advised me? All this is your thought telling you, where you want to blame. You want to justify. Your ego is still very strong. You still think you are not wrong. And if you look at life, if you are not mindful, heedful, and aware, all these wrong view ideas will infiltrate your mind, and they will make you more and more deluded, and they will make you more and more heedless. That's how the mental hindrance come about. That's how the evil roots come about. That evil lead to karmic negativity, lead to downfall. Then your life will be afflicted. You will become miserable. Suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof. That's like the Buddha and the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. He make it very clear. First thing first, he explained to you very clearly. Your mind is very important, even though it's not you. This is the mundane mind, thinking mind, heedless mind, condition arising mind. He said, this mind is the forerunner of all things. You know what is forerunner? This one come out first. When mind arise, everything come to be. That's why the whole lot of phenomenal world, the condition arising world, you created through your mind. That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. And he said, mind is chief. When mind arise, everything arise. So when you know this mind plays such a great role, what must you do? Yeah? You have to take care of mind, isn't it? Otherwise, according to the Buddha, the Dhammapada verse 1 is what? Dhammapada verse 1 is what? If you don't take care of mind, what happened to you? You will have suffering. How does it come about? Well, you are not mindful. You are not heedful. You become heedless. So if you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, what will happen to you? Well, these are root of all evil. Evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion. Then the Buddha says, suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart. If you want to have suffering, don't have to do anything. Continue to be heedless. Continue to do the thing that you have been doing. No need to straighten your view. No need to train your mind. Do what you like. They use the word what? Do what you like. Means what? There's one English word. My way is another one. That one is another. This one is. They like. Like they don't have any fear or worry. Free for all. The word is free for all. Understand? They just do what they are craving. Their delusion lead them. Understand? Free for all. That word. How can the world have this type of living being? Free for all means what? You do what you like. That there is no law and order anymore. The world will become crazy. So Dhammapada verse 2 is the opposite pair of verse 1. The Buddha said, again, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, everything arise. When you understand this, what must you do to the mind? You have to take care of mind. You have to train it, develop it to be mindful, to be heedful, so that you can act, speak, and think with a heedful mind. When you are heedful and mindful means what? You are mindful of the evil roots, the greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you have the four right effort to abandon them, to prevent them from arising. Then you only have right thought, right speech, right action. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path works. So the Buddha said, if you train your mind to be heedful, then Dhammapada verse 2 say, if you act, speak, and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you will have right thought, right speech, right action, pure mind. then what happened to you? Happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So life is very easy, isn't it? Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, which one you choose? The wise one will intend on heedfulness. That's why they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. Dhammapada verse 22. Now you understand. It's very clear that heedful means what? To be ever mindful not to allow the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action from arising. The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion from arising. Then be diligent, be sincere, have faith to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, especially the five spiritual faculties, to understand his spiritual teaching, so that it will help you overcome the five mental hindrances, which are the nutrient for delusion and avijja. Now you see. And to do that, you must have Dhamma friends who can take you along, motivate you, counsel you. And because we walk the path of Dhamma, we will study the Dhamma, we will attend classes, listen to Dhamma, straighten our views, develop heedfulness, mindfulness, to be ever mindful of the moment, to understand, to develop understanding of who we are, what we are, to develop understanding of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, then apply them appropriately. Especially Noble Eightfold Path, the three right view. When you have right view, it will condition right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort will be there automatic. Then you will have mindfulness, because this is the first factor of enlightenment. This is also one of the five spiritual faculties. Without mindfulness, you cannot meditate. You cannot start, because this is the silent mind. This one will lead you back to the true mind, your true nature. That's why without sati, you cannot be silent. You cannot be aware. You think a lot. You become heedless. That's why sati is the most important quality that you must develop. And the Buddha, under the Satipatthana Sutta, explained it very clearly. He even got an analogy of this importance of heedfulness, which is basically ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. And to be ever mindful, he said, this quality of mindfulness is just like the elephant footprint, he said, where all the other footprints can go in. That's why sati is very important. Fundamental. Without sati, even Achan Cha say, for life is sati. Without sati, there is no life. It's similar than Dhammapada. It's similar as Dhammapada verse 21, isn't it? Yeah? Without sati means what? You become heedless, isn't it? Because without sati, you cannot be mindful. And without mindfulness, you cannot be ever mindful. Then you become heedless. So under Dhammapada verse 21, what did the Buddha say? The heedless are as if? So very obvious, isn't it? If you don't train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, if you don't have sati, first factor enlightenment also don't have. How to investigate the Dhamma? First factor enlightenment also not there. How to be heedful? If you cannot be heedful, you will be as if dead. You don't stand a chance. That's why everything starts with sati, heedfulness, mindfulness. That's why before the Buddha passed away, he just advised the monks, strive on with heedfulness. Like what is on the whiteboard. Last Thursday, this one I can return to you. Thanks, Alicia. Last Thursday, we were at this, isn't it? The advice of the Buddha is strike on with heedfulness. So this is not trying, you know. Strike on with heedfulness. He never asked you to strive on to become enlightened. Understand? He just said, develop the virya, the spiritual zeal, to develop this heedfulness. That's it. But the moment you are heedful, you never die. Understand? You are destined for enlightenment. That's why the wise one, they will intend on heedfulness. Nothing else. So, to become enlightened is so easy. You only need to have this quality of mind. Heedfulness. And what is heedfulness? We've gone through last Thursday. What is heedfulness? Heedfulness got two parts, remember? First part is what? Yeah? To be heedful, you must be ever mindful. How to be ever mindful? You must at least be mindful, understand? Then stabilize it. That's why the whole of meditation is just this, so simple. Mindfulness also don't know. Use the thought-based meditation and call that vipassana. That is the biggest joke, I tell you. Now you understand. All along I've been trying to explain this, but nobody understands. Until lately. If you cannot be mindful, how can you stabilize it to be ever mindful? Then only you can develop the second quality, which is constantly meditative. Dhammapada verse 23. To be constantly meditative means constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Because the meditation as taught by the Buddha is the fourth Noble Truth. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is a meditation. That's why without Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation taught by the Buddha. Whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it does not bring you back to have the quality of the Noble Eightfold Path, to become noble ones, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why without the three right view in the first path factor, you will go wrong, you will deviate. When your view is wrong, what happens? Your thought will be wrong, correct? When your thought is wrong, thought condition what? Speech and action and the way you live your life. That's why mental intention. If that is born of wrong view will condition wrong thought. Wrong thought will condition wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood, and wrong meditation. Even wrong, the four right effort also go wrong. Your view is wrong. Then your sati also go wrong. Because to have sati alone does not guarantee the correct practice, understand? You must have right view to cultivate heedfulness. And then only that mindfulness become useful. Otherwise, that mindfulness is no use. I already explained many times that all the sportsmen, even we all, as we develop skill in life, you will become very mindful at the thing you are very skillful at. Even cooking, playing badminton, or running, or whatever, jogging and other things. If you do it until you have the passion, the love, and you regularly cultivate or practice it, you will become very skillful. And you develop mindfulness, because there is no thinking one. Within the moment, you act. Like you retrieve a shot badminton, when you become very skillful. You don't think one. You know what to do one. And where you want to return, you can return it. Because you have full control. You understand the movement. You become so skillful. And that is mindfulness. But that is not right mindfulness, understand? That is not samasati. That is sati, but not samasati. That's why without right view, to use sati to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to become heedful, then that sati is not samasati. That's why the Qigong people, the Tai Chi people, they have a lot of mindfulness. But they use it to do what? To store the energy at the Tan Tian. Understand? For Kung Fu and all those things. That's why very difficult to develop wisdom if you use it that way. That's why it is not samasati. It is sati, but not samasati. But at least the tea is a lot better than samatha, anasana, the condition, my state, and other things. At least they are relaxed and just aware. They are aware of their movement. But the moment they focus, concentrate, and store their energy at the tan tien, it becomes one-pointedness, energy field. But don't get me wrong. If you do qigong, if you like qigong, you continue to do. Because that is for people who want it for other purpose. They want to develop their qi. They want to improve their health. You go ahead, no harm. Don't be so foolish as sometimes a lot of people, sometimes they got this disease or sickness. Then they were told you do qigong, you develop the qi, then you can heal. By all means, go and do. Don't just because, Brother Teo say, you touch all this, become energy field. You don't be so foolish, understand? I say that if you want to develop wisdom, understand? But it doesn't mean that you have this, you cannot develop wisdom. You must know how to release it out. Like the Buddha also did jhana first one. The teacher also taught him. But because finally he released out and go the middle way, he start to eat again. Then he starts to develop the understanding through the mindfulness. That's how all this contemplative wisdom came back to him. He recollected life after life. That's how he come to know about the three right views, the law of karma. Because through that reflection, contemplation, and recollection of past birth, he saw how these are all interlinked. And he developed the understanding through the awareness of all this. That's how he developed his understanding and awakening. Of course, he perfected them long time ago. So these are very important understanding. Without right view, you are dead. That's why everything starts with right view. And right view, initially, without the teaching, if you were to find out yourself, it is going to be a very difficult task. It's just like the analogy I used to give you. You don't have a prototype, like you want to design a car. How can you ever have any idea that there can be a car that you can drive and do all this? Even the car now on the market, you have not learned how to drive. You also don't know how to drive. Understand? But how did the first guy come up with the idea that he can design something that he called a car? Even aeroplane. Understand? Such a heavy machine, how can you lift off just on the runway like that? Because of physics. Understand? Bernoulli's principle. The engineers, they understand Bernoulli's principle. So what they do? They create the airlift, understand? The propeller, the wing there. So they created the airflow so that the pressure on one side is so low, then the uplift automatically, even the plane, I think more than 100 tons, isn't it? Hundreds of tons, sometimes 1,000 over tons, the big fellow, B-52 or one. So heavy, you know. How can you imagine it taking off the ground? To jack it up also is a very difficult effort, understand, on the part of those people. But to get it flying, you know, how did the aeronautical engineer do it? But now they don't say it's magic. Last time, show magic, can fly like that. Only bird can fly. How come this iron machine also can fly? They call it the iron bird. So, a lot of things, you need prototype, then improve on it is very easy. Then the technology grow. That's why sasana is required. Now you understand. What is sasana? Buddha sasana. Where there is a Sammasambuddha who came before and recollected the teaching. Means re-proclaim this teaching. Means like a prototype. Understand? This one better than prototype. The perfected one. then he leave it with the world. And you just have to use it, apply. Is it so difficult? No need to go and do R&D, research, everything. Just put to test. Is it so difficult? Like that also you don't want to do. Nobody can help you. And the reason why living beings cannot do it is because they got too much views and opinion and conditioning. You know what they do? They go and learn all those funny teaching. Then they come, they listen to yours. Wow, all opposite of what I learned. My teacher never say that. The book also never say that because they quote the book and interpret it differently. Then their views and opinion prevent them from having an open mind to receive it. That's why without a free mind, without a mind that is free of all the views, opinion, and conditioning, you cannot develop the meditation. Like Krishnamurti said, first, the mind must be free. So all this, I hope you start to see now. Otherwise, it's very difficult to progress. Even the Zen has an analogy. Your cup is full. Impossible to teach you. Whatever that is poured in will just overflow out. Understand? No? Then the Buddha under the Salika Sutta. How many of you heard of this Salika Sutta? You go back and Google. They expanded the three evil roots and the three wrong view. Oh, sorry, not the three wrong view. The three evil roots are into 45 aspects of unwholesomeness and delusion. And out of these 45, you go and go through the greed, hatred, and delusion. In many ways, they expanded on it. The worst is the last one. The last one, even the Buddha also cannot help him. Cannot help you. And you know what is the last one? The Buddha said in the Salika Sutta, you go back and check. He who hold on to his view tenaciously. I tell you, if you do that, don't come to my class. Forget about it. Because you think you know. Your views and opinion is so strong, you hold on to it so tenaciously. The Buddha also cannot teach you. Is it? That is the only being, living being, that he cannot teach, is it? That's why your views and your opinion, you have to be careful. It's just like Krishnamurti said, the most dangerous person in this world is the one who say, I know. Because your views and opinion is so strong, you say, yeah, you know. You know means what? I cannot teach you anymore. Right? You already know. And you won't listen anymore. So, Dhamma is about having a free mind, an open mind, to listen attentively. If it's the truth, according to the Buddha, it will stand up to investigation. Understand? Do you understand? So, no harm listening with a free mind, with an open mind. Understand? What happened if it's the truth? Then I put it to test. It stands up to investigation. But if I am so rigid, what will happen? You will just what they call brush it off. Brush it off means what? Yeah, very good, like that one. You understand? Because your views and opinion tell you. But the truth is always opposite of logic. What the world perceives as logical, the truth is always the other way around. It's nothing to do with logic. Logic is about the idea, the thought, the egoic mind. It's not wisdom. It's not understanding, which is non-rigid. That's why logical doesn't mean it's the truth. Whatever that is logical is only logical according to the thought process, the idea that living being projected or created through thought. Okay, Christina, I answer your question. So now you understand. So to be aware is, like I said, when there is this emotion coming out, just silence everything. the third way that the Buddha taught, and remember, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The third way is what? Huh? Third way is what? First way is think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. This thought base. Second one is what? Huh? The five ways to overcome unwholesome thought is all in the Heart Sutta. First one is think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Like you got anger, you think of love, metta. Then anger cannot be there, understand? When there is love, there can never be anger, envy, jealousy. But when there is no love, of course, all this can come. Then the second way the Buddha advises is what? Think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought. The anger, the hatred, the envy, the jealousy. But these are evil root, root of all evil, make you evil. You're still there to hold on. So when you see the danger, means when you reflect and contemplate on the consequence, you tell yourself, my life, I'm not going to make myself miserable. These are evil, root of all evil, cause my karmic negativity. Then straight away you will abandon it. You will root out anger. No point getting angry. It's an evil root. I have to accept that reality, see things as they are, accept him for what he is, or her for what she is. Then I move on. I don't want to get angry anymore. That is an evil root. It's never worthwhile to be selfish. That's why you root all this out. Where you know that they are evil, root out all evil. You have investigated into it. Then the third way is what? The third way, nothing to do with the thought. The first two is thought. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Think of the consequence of holding on to that thought. Everything is thought. But the third way, the Buddha never said thought. He said meditate. Just silent your mind and aware. Finish. Don't try to know. That is what awareness is all about. So when you allow it to be, it means you don't resist. You don't go and deludedly say this is anger. Anger is an evil root. It must not arise. Because I'm a meditator. I'm a cultivator. I must not have anger. You deludedly believe you are the anger. How foolish are you? Before anger arises, there was no anger there. True or not? Then later on, when after a while, the anger disappears there. So how can anger be you? Anger is condition arising, dependent originating. Due to your wrong view, you react and stir your mind. Then anger come to be. It was not intrinsic in you. It was never you in the first place. Why you go and see, I can see anger. Anger is an evil root. I must not have anger. Then what you do? You want to suppress and control anger. You want to do away with anger. You go and yarn, and you suppress the anger. Because you say, I'm not supposed to get angry. You know, I am a Dhamma practitioner. I am a Buddhist. No. Then, who come and disturb you also? I don't want to get angry. Yarn. That is suppressing the anger. You are not rooting it out. So the Buddha's way is different. Let the anger come out. And understand that anger is dependent originating, condition arising, not you. Then when you just silent and aware and be with it, don't feed it anymore with any thought energy, then what happens? Anger ceases to be. Well, your natural state of that mind, which is your true mind, was without anything. It's empty. That's why I say not intrinsic to your true mind. Anger is dependent oriented. Without wrong view, without you stirring, reacting, there was no anger, no emotion. That's why it's an aggregate of mind. And this aggregate is impermanent. There is dependent originating, condition arising. That's why it is impermanent. You attach and cling, believing that the anger is you, the feeling is you, you will suffer. Now you see. Is it clear? Yeah? You better get this understood. Otherwise, you forget about meditation. Because when you meditate without this understanding, you will do the wrong thing. you will have this aversion towards anger, dislike towards anger. And what is that? Ill will. Ill root. And also one of the five mental hindrances. That's why when you have that, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate at all. Now you follow. That's why meditation is just silent, aware. Don't try to know. Then when you see that anger, that arisen, disappearing, then you will understand why the Satipatthana say you will come to understand how the arisen anger, which is a mental hindrance, ceases to be. No need to do anything. There is condition arising. It's not intrinsic to your true nature. Without wrong view, it ceases to be. Without any attachment, clinging, grasping, holding, without the mental hindrance, it will cease to be. And it's so simple. And yet people don't get it. And what people do is, they keep on noting anger, 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 hoping the anger will disappear because it's impermanent. So. But this will not develop wisdom. This will get you more and more deluded, more and more entangled, because your verbalization is so strong. You know what verbalization is, right? Keep on verbalizing. Note anger, anger, anger. The early day you all were taught like that, you know, this type of vipassana. Sound, sound, sound. Pain, pain, pain. Whose handphone is that? Oh, yes. Oh, you want to check the recorder. Oh, no need. This one more reliable. This one very clear. This one very clear. So, meditation is about understanding. When you understand, you develop it, you will become very skillful and good at it, very fast. But if you don't understand, what is happening? When you do without understanding, what is happening? Huh? When you do that meditation without understanding, what are you doing? Huh? You are a bit gullible, isn't it? They use the word trying your luck. How to try your luck? You don't even know what that thing is. You understand? You don't even know what sati is, what that meditation is. And you want to do meditation. That's why I say meditation has to be developed through understanding. Means you must understand the essential Dhamma. What the Buddha meant by heedfulness. Then from there you start. He said the heedless are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the devilers. The heedful never die. Then before he passed away, Parinibbana, again he says strike on with heedfulness. And yet you don't want to understand what is heedfulness. Then noble eightfold path. All the eight path factors also don't want to understand. Straight away go into what? Vipassana. But that word, vipassana, is a magic word. First thing they ask you, what you teach? Vipassana. He attend class. Not vipassana, he don't want to attend class. What method you use? Related to vipassana, they attend. And when you tell them you got no method, you can use any method. They look at you like very weird. He don't want to come. When you say rising, falling, vipassana, okay, they come. When you don't understand, you become gullible. So, when you reflect back, you will recall all the things that people do in the name of meditation. Because when you do without understanding, you end up gullible. And the worst one is, without understanding, no matter how you try your luck, there is no way you can hit the bullseye, understand or not? Because, like you want to throw dart onto that bullseye, where the dartboard is also you don't know. How you want to throw? Which direction also you don't know. Then whether the dartboard exists or not also you don't know. And you want to throw. It's as difficult as that, understand or not? That's why without understanding, forget about it. This life, when I came, when this nature is born, when it went to school, go to school, if I don't know the language, I cannot learn. Because semester one, semester two, I went to, I was last and second last in the class. Well, my father sent me to the best English school when I don't know English. How to start? Can't even understand what the teacher say. Then for 2 years, I was listening to all the singing. Ba, ba, black sheep, anyone, A, apple. I just listen, listen until I know those English words. And then standard three onward, different really. The moment I understand, I progress very fast. I reach the top of the academic career and the class. That's why without understanding, this nature, no point, wasting time. Then I come out to work also same. You give me a project or what, being a civil engineer. If I don't have all the detail, and if I don't understand what this project is all about, I don't want to start. I don't want to do. No point. Because I must have the full picture. And then, there is meaning. Then I can plan the project. I can strategize. I can know what to do. Then I understand. My contribution will have meaning. Otherwise, do design. Don't even know what design is also. Take the one, go and copy. See where got similar design. Or ask somebody. Yeah. And the biggest joke is when I was in my first year training, I went to a DID office. Then they put me under one TA or something. Then they just give us drafting. Then I saw the drawing, the 1960s on, the 1970 on, then the 1980 on. That time not 1980, 70s. Then I compare the drawing. Then I go and ask the TA, how come last time the 60s and the 70s on a colonial government time, the design, the steel bar also small one. The spacing all so wide one. As the year go by, I saw the drawing, the steel bar become bigger and bigger, spacing become smaller and smaller. You know what happened? Later when I graduate, only I come to know. But I know how to do design. Then when I calculate, my design matched the 60s one with the colonial engineer one, the quite low engineer one. Then I realize all these are kiasu one. The boss say one, you sure? Steel bar so small. Add one size bigger. Then every few years, the engineer say, add one size bigger. Until the bar become bigger and bigger. Then the spacing, too wide, I think put smaller. When you don't have the understanding, out of fear, you do all this, understand? Meditation is the same. They can become so gullible. Wait, they say, this a note like that, like that. I think I'm going to do more. I not only know, I want to be, you go and add all those things. It's just like adding steel bar. They say half an hour, I do 1 hour. But you do without understanding, you are wasting your time. Understand? That's why, do not be gullible. Develop understanding. When you understand, you will progress very fast. That's why the three phases of Dhamma, Pariyatti, spend more time understanding. Then when you come into Patipatti, putting the Dhamma into cultivation, when you understand, you progress very fast. Yeah. Then remember to have an open mind. Free your mind from all conditioning. Forget about what the thought tell you. The book never say, my teacher never say, or forget about it. Have an open mind. Look at it. Attentively listen. Then put it to test. If it doesn't stand out to investigation, you will know it. You will definitely know. The truth is always the truth. When you do it correctly, it's like you take a medical, what they call in the medical term, they give you a prescription, the doctor, diagnose you, give you. Then after you eat, if it does not work, you will know one is there. If it's healing, immediately you will know that. Meditation is the same. If after you do and do and do, repeat and repeat for so many years, you still have fear, worry, anxiety, all this evil root, please wake up, understand? Means you are not progressing at all. You don't have this noble eightfold path factor with you. Your life is not improving, understand? Your personality, your character, your mindfulness, your awareness, you have not developed any change in you. Maybe you experience some peacefulness and calmness when you meditate. Apart from that, you are still the same. You still have craving, desire, anger, fear, worry, anxiety. Then when you are confronted with the noble truth, the first noble truth especially, the eight reality, you can still be afflicted. Then you know that type of meditation doesn't work. Your mind is still entangled, not free. And when you are so conditioned and so rigid, how can you say you have the Dhamma? How can you say you are a Buddhist practitioner, cultivator? You have not even followed the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. How to avoid all evil? Keep your precepts. Precept also not serious. Then how to do good? Cultivate right view to arrive right thought, right speech, right action. Right. That's why it's about Noble Eightfold Path. You have to be ever mindful to contemplate. How often are you cultivating the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood to develop wholesomeness, to develop virtue, goodness, to have gentleness, pleasantness, kindness, respect, gratitude, contentment? Are these qualities in you, the love, the compassion, the joy, the peacefulness, the heedfulness, the awareness, the enlightenment factor of sati, and the various other enlightenment factor of dhamma vichaya, means investigation of dhamma, are they there? If the enlightenment factor also not there, you expect to be enlightened. Is it possible? No way. That's why if you do it correctly, you have sati, then you will know how to reflect and contemplate the second turning to develop dhamma investigation. Then when it stands up to investigation, what happened? Eh? The dhamma stands up to investigation. Means you have done it correctly. There is a lot of joy. The faith in the Buddha and his teaching become unshakable. Then there is this joy, pity will arise. Understand? And pity would be very strong. That's why from sati, you will develop the investigation of dhamma. Then this faith will arise and drive you to cultivate. That's why virya will arise, the third enlightenment factor. Then when you cultivate diligently, sincerely with faith, you will experience the sati, the mindfulness, more and more stable. That's how you will experience pity. Then when you continue to relax into it, pity will allow you to become, to make the mind very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. Then you reach pasati. Of course, in between you will pass through sukha, sukhang, sukha, or blissfulness of mind. But that one, if you don't have the delusion and craving to attach, you will pass through. You know how to relax into every mind state. Then when pasati arises, pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silence, that is the meditative state. Then you stabilize it. That's how it becomes samadhi. Then when it becomes samadhi, it will allow you to see things as they are. Then you will develop the wisdom, and that's how you become different. Then the last factor of enlightenment, which is upekha, equanimity of mind, born of wisdom, not born of jhana or a conditioned state. And that one is a true enlightenment factor. That's how the seven factor of enlightenment will arise. And you will have that throughout the day in you. If one or two factor of enlightenment also not there, and you expect to be enlightened, forget about it. That's why when you tread the correct path, develop the correct understanding, to meditate, you will experience the enlightenment factor. It will arise in you. First is, you will be ever mindful, then heedful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Initially, you will investigate the Dhamma so that they stand up to investigation. Then your faith becomes very strong. It will drive you further. That's why Virya will arise, the third factor enlightenment. Then after that, you will experience the silent mind in awareness, mindfulness. That's how you experience piti. Without thought, when you are aware, piti will arise. Then when you continue to relax into it and silent, piti will transform into paucity. That's how the enlightenment factor keep on coming. Then when you lie down, silent, you will experience both sati leading to paucity very fast. And this is a free mind. Of course, sometimes you experience sukham in between. No problem. It will go through, then it will understand. Then when you are very quiet, very tranquil, still, you can understand a lot of things. Then, because this awareness, which is your true mind, is within your kaya, then everything that arises upon contact with your physical senses and your mind, you will come to be aware, understand. That's how satipatthana come to be. That's why it will condition the four foundations of mindfulness to develop the insight, the wisdom. Then the seven factor of enlightenment keep on arising. Then knowledge and vision of the reality, enlightenment, will arise. Nibbana will be realized. So all this is the full cultivation. And you will go through them. And it's not difficult. With the sasana, with the condition, all these are possible. Okay? Yeah. Another 3 minutes before 10:30. You got any more questions? You can rejoice, huh? Don't be shy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Clear? We should thank Christina for the good question. Whatever you're not sure, you better clarify, because sometimes it's not the question, it's the condition that you need to arise so that I can share the Dhamma. Even though I've spoken before in Tuesday, you ask those who attend the Tuesday class. This explanation is, the essence is the same, but the explanation is different. The approach is different because condition here different. And through this, you learn more. You learn faster. You can ask the Tuesday class. What I explained at the Tuesday class was different, but the essence is the same. You even can listen to the recording. It's different, but the essence is the same. The Dhamma is the same. Except the approach is different. And you need all this different approach so that the meaning become clear, the understanding become clear. Okay? Okay, if no more questions, we end. We will do the sharing of merits. Recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we will share this merits or wholesomeness with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu lokasasana ittavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones, the Buddha, Bodhisattva, and Maitreya. Then we end. Okay.
Yeah.